That was solid. I've never wanted to drink wine more after hearing that. Sean's poured himself way more than Nicole, just FYI for everyone at home.
Well, his liver works.
Fair call. Fair call.
All right, let's try this. Cheers.
Cheers. No time like the present.
Well. Little different than we had ever planned.
Indeed.
A little bit of a shakedown. Shake up.
It's shaky. It's definitely shaky.
I don't feel like we need to justify why we haven't done a thing for a while.
No.
I don't. It's not a justification.
More an explanation.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some things on.
There's been some things. Look, I think there's always complications with my health, right? And there's been a few of those.
Mm.
We'll get to those. But I think the thing that we want to discuss more and acknowledge, and I don't even know where to start really, is the loss of Dean Pratt, who has created our beautiful music that we are currently enjoying, and is part of our impatient family.
A huge part.
Dean passed away on the 9th of July this year from metastatic bowel cancer. That is the same disease that I have, so I know it well. And we know Dean very well as someone who had so much life, spirit, feistiness, playfulness.
Mm.
And when I spoke to him about this idea of me doing a podcast with you, he was all over that and all over the idea of putting music together for us.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you and I were dealing with, oh my God, we're going to be doing a podcast and what's it going to look like? And like, we're quite a musical family and we were kind of thinking, oh yeah, we could kind of put a tune together.
Yeah.
Then Dean came through and he's like, I could do a song for you. And I think you and I were a bit like, oh, do we want to, you know, relinquish that control of something that's going to be so central to creating the theme for our podcast so early in the podcast creation, right? Yeah. We were like, do we want to do that? And then he created something for us and it's just so freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
And that piece of music is the thing that serves to get us in the headspace.
It's the hype machine.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And you know, for the peeps at home, when Sean and I are going off on a tangent, which let's be honest is regularly... We'll often just go, okay, let's just play Dean again.
Yeah.
Let's just stop. Pull ourselves back.
Yeah. I'm going to put it on right now.
Do it. Let's pull ourselves back.
Let's just put
Dean on again.
What gets you back in the headspace?
Exactly.
Why are we here?
And we're here, you know, we're here for patience, and Dean was a patient, and it's incredibly sad to have lost him. But I think the fact that we have him and will have him as part of our family for as long as we have this podcast is super special.
It's very special. Cheers to Dean.
To Dean.
Genuinely listen to this all day.
Yep. Dean was a absolutely amazing creative force for music. And I think if you are into music, if you're particularly into anything jazzy and trumpety, then, you know, you should go check out his music. He is enduring on Instagram. He's just a fantastic musical force. So
we'll throw some links in the notes.
Definitely. So that's, you know, that's the start of why we've been a little bit quiet.
Explanation the first.
Yep. Next, I mean, let's go on to some impatient updates.
Go on.
Uh oh, Okay. So we start with you, actually.
Nah, would you hurry up though? Come on.
Okay. Look, my health, as we know, is an ongoing let's call it a battle. It's a battle, physically and mentally. But in terms of my cancer, we've had a little bit of a switch up and change recently. My scans are, you know, looking good, looking stable, and anyone who follows me on Instagram will know that that's where we've been at for some time. My blood results, however, and these are like kind of an ongoing, you know, status check for us. When you do blood results, you can get tumor markers in the blood, right? So you know how much that little kind of niggling sense of tumor existing in the blood, where it's sitting at. And they've just been like going up a teeny tiny
Just creeping.
So we've had to change things up for me treatment-wise, and I never get too much into the detail of treatments. I don't find it particularly helpful, but as a result, there's just been, you know, just the chaos of change, right?
Mm.
Just the chaos of change. And with every new treatment comes new side effects, complications, things we need to manage, my liver being one of them.
Mm.
But it's actually fine. Blood pressure actually was the problem this week.
Is that strictly like a medication side effect, or is there like an element of stress involved? Or
it's interesting, right? Because at the moment I'm having to track my blood pressure regularly throughout the day.
Yeah.
And your mum.
Same mum. Who knew?
Our mum.
That's what brother and sister means.
It's funny that. Yeah. She said to me, oh, but are you just getting high blood pressure readings because you're worried about it and you're checking it all the time? I think that that's probably a bit optimistic.
The old white coat syndrome.
That's what she called it.
Yeah. It's a thing.
I've never heard it called
Look
that
it up.
Before.
No, because I get it because my resting heart rate is probably lower than it should be.
Yeah.
Bit of the bradycardia going on.
Okay.
As if I was like a fit person.
Oh, good. But
I'm not.
You're not.
But like if I, like my overnight heart rate, watchy, smarty thing, my resting heart rate's somewhere between 40 and 50 beats a minute. If I go to a doctor and get my blood pressure measured, it's never less than 70.
Okay.
Because I'm sitting there
stressing. Stressing about the whole thing. Yeah. Okay.
It's a thing.
It exists. It's a thing. Yeah. All right. Well, look, I think it's optimistic to think that mine's going up for
sure.
That reason.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
So, and we've done a similar kind of drug in the past and it's like sent my heart, not heart rate, sorry, my blood pressure really high. So we're having to manage for that. We've got medication for that and it's all fine. But it just creates complication, right? It just, you know, generates new things in your week. Blood pressure is not really something to be stressing about in the broader context of stage four cancer. Sure. But there are some broader things in stage four cancer for me to be stressing about at the moment. So it's fine. We've got it under control. We're in the wait and see zone in terms of how we're going to respond to this treatment. And these initial weeks of treatment of a new treatment are always about, okay, let's make sure we've, you know, controlled for all of those side effects and we've got everything under control and we can, you know, let Nicole function the way that she needs to function and give the drugs the opportunity to do what they need to do.
Mm.
But that just takes some really tight, close monitoring.
Sure.
Particularly because I've got, you know, I've been treated for over 5 years now. So I've got a whole host of problems that I'm bringing to the situation before we even start with the new drugs. So it's just been a little bit on for me. And emotionally, I've been a little bit rocky.
Let's call it burdened by the knowledge of all of that.
All of that. Yeah. I've got a little bit of pain and I've talked about this a lot in the past because I've got disease in my chest wall, my ribs. I get a little bit of pain with that.
Yeah.
And so the knowledge of that pain is a problem. But I also think I'm stressed. Like I've got this like, you know, pain in my neck, literally. I was chatting to
Is it me?
Not you.
Okay,
but you might be more tolerable because we've got Rosé and I.
It's helping.
So, yeah,
it's
helping a lot. I was chatting to a friend today who was saying, I was like, oh, I'd booked to go to the snow this weekend. Long story, I didn't go, but I had booked to have a 90-minute massage while I was there.
It's a long massage.
It's the first massage I've booked in about 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm chatting to this friend and saying, like, I really could have done with that massage in the snow. Didn't need the snow, but could have done with the massage.
Just to clarify, when you say massage in the snow, is this some sort of weird, like...
Yeah, some kind of cryogenic, like, cancer freezing. No, like, we were going to a snow resort. I wasn't skiing.
Yeah.
I was going to go to the day spa.
Good.
Had booked the massage.
Yeah.
Didn't show up to the day spa or the snow resort. Anyway, this friend of mine is like, you probably need a massage more than like once every 2 years. Yeah. Like, you probably need to do that a little bit more regularly.
Sure.
And I kind of came back with, yeah, it's not a great self-care program, you know, massage once every 2 years, you know, check in with my psych, you know, once every 6 months. Like, it's not really.
Really all over the well-being stuff.
Yeah, it's not sustaining for me. So I get that. I've taken some time out this weekend. I need to continue to do that. And that's me owning that side of things. So heard it here first. It's my intent.
Good. Just while we're on that front, and that what that front is, I'm not quite sure, but this is what I'm trying to get across.
Let's go with it.
This episode,
yes,
might be a little bit different to what you would normally expect.
It is, right?
And it, I think it is because of the aforementioned reasons.
Yeah, I think so. I think the fact that we've had a lot of, you know, my health, as we know, I like to make it about me. But my health does tend to derail our broader family situation.
Sure.
It does tend to kind of take the focus off other things that we might like to be doing and just kind of just funnel it all into Nicole's zone. And it just doesn't leave a lot of time, you know, to be creative and set up podcast episodes and find, you know, patient stories and, you know,
I think that's the thing, right? It's not just about finding the physical time in the day to do it.
That's
it's
right.
Finding the time in the day when you've got the mindset.
Exactly.
Right? Like it's
exactly. And to be present and to be available for our patients and their stories. So we had this idea, you know, that we were going to do about 10 episodes in our season one, the Inpatient Podcast.
Mm.
We've done 8.
Yep.
We've got this one as a little nugget of debrief.
We're calling it an episode.
We're calling it an episode.
Loosely. We got to 9. Call it 9.5.
Exactly. And you guys are listening. So, that proves it, right?
Round it up. 10-bay system. Yep. We've done it.
We've done it. Tick in that box. Well done. Season one, time for a holiday. So that's where we're at for this ep. But let's not forget that we still have to throw to you for your Inpatient Week, and I haven't forgotten.
That's good. No, but here's the thing.
Yep.
Still pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Back to work full time.
Yep.
That's been pretty smooth.
It's been part of our problem in trying to record also. It does. Call that out. It does. Sean's so functional on at work now. It's
actually
a problem.
Actually got responsibilities now.
Yeah.
No, I have genuinely nothing to report other than, you know, things are going well.
It's great.
Yeah, it is.
I love it.
I oddly feel a little bit of welfare guilt. Like maybe I should come up with something. Some sort of
there's a strange growth.
Dehydrated.
You own it, man. Yeah. You deserve it.
Yeah, doing well.
You deserve this. Cheers to that. If I could reach you, I would cheers you, but I can't.
Cheers to health.
Cheers to health.
For one of us. All of us don't have it all.
Look, a 1 out of 2. Out of 2.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. Ain't bad. All right, good.
Good. Moving on.
Look, I thought that we would just take this opportunity to reflect a little. One of the things that I get asked about regularly, and also we get asked about via the Inpatient Podcast Instagram account that you have no access and control of, but I do, so you wouldn't know.
Curious to know what we get asked. Go on.
One of the things we get asked regularly is about this idea and this notion of advocacy.
Yeah.
Right? And wanting to be an advocate for patients, wanting to be that person who takes on that responsibility, who drives that change, who, you know, owns that thing. People speak to us regularly.
Both of us. Equally. Mm.
Keen to hear your thoughts, especially.
Obviously.
On, like, why, you know, how did you get into advocacy? How did you make it happen? You know, what are the stumbling blocks? What are the good bits and bad bits? You know, all of that kind of jazz.
Well, then let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go on.
How did you get into advocacy?
So, I don't know if we've ever reflected on, did we talk about how we started this podcast and how we came up with this idea?
No, well, we might have at the very, very, I don't think we ever have. Although there was that one review that one time that was like, I still don't know what advocacy is. So, gather around.
Let's get into that then. Look, I think, you know, I've spoken about advocacy from the perspective of, you know, being an advocate is about being prepared to have that conversation that other people won't necessarily have.
Yeah.
And it's, I find a successful advocate is not always, but is very often the person who's like sitting at the table and not actually being paid to be there. So they don't have the vested interest.
Yeah.
I've spoken about that a little bit before. That's not true of everyone. And there's plenty of medical advocates who are appointed particularly to navigate healthcare systems, right? Sure. Yeah. Because healthcare systems are extremely difficult to understand and to optimize in terms of your outcomes. So advocacy comes in all shapes and sizes and colors and et cetera's, right? But I think that from my perspective, what I try to do is to kind of go, okay, I've got this experience as a patient that is specific to me and is really only about me and my, you know, circle. But I'm learning so much that's so immediately relevant to the person who's sitting next to me or the person who, you know, is across the hall in the ward, in the hospital, or is, you know, on my phone in Instagram just with similar questions, or is sitting listening to this with their own symptoms. And once I became aware of the fact that, that existed, I felt like I had to do something about that, that, it, you know, was my responsibility. And I'm, I guess, from a communications background, and I'm also from a management consulting background, so I want to improve things all the time. And so that's how advocacy came to be for me. The podcast came to be because, like, you and I were sitting around drinking a lot of wine.
Yeah, on my birthday.
On your birthday.
I mean, you had thought about it prior to that.
I had thought about the concept of a podcast,
yeah.
But sitting there with you thinking, man, we're actually so funny together. We're really like, we're a team. We're engaging, we're entertaining.
The steak's delicious.
The steak is delicious. Pass the pommes frites. Do you want to do a podcast together?
Why not? Let's do it.
Let's do it. And so that's how that happened. And then it's just kind of grown from there. But I'm interested in your take on this advocacy question, right? Because I think I've spoken before about the fact that when you're an advocate, you're an agitator of change, really.
Yeah.
Because you're fighting against a system that exists and you're needing to kind of champion someone or something, generally someone, who perhaps isn't the priority. And that's what we know to be true in patient land.
Sure.
So when you do that, you kind of you're in a battle position, you're in a counter force position, you're in a, you know, why doesn't the rest of the system think like we do? Why don't they think for patient first? Why don't they champion the outcomes for a patient, you know? And it's hard work. So I'm interested in your take on that hard work question.
Yep.
You know, do you find it hard work? Do you find it a burden? Do you find it a, you know, how do you think about it in your life? And then also, you know, do you ever think about, are we advocating for the right thing? Have we prioritized the right patient? Have we chosen the right issue? Have we, you know, are we driving, affecting the most change?
We were talking about this in my kitchen, drinking coffee about an hour ago.
Yeah, before we started the wine.
Before the wine came out. So there's a few things, right? There's one of the things that interests me a lot here is the way you say fighting against.
Because
I would see it more as fighting for.
Yeah.
That's my,
maybe,
like,
I'm feeling more withered. Yeah. Sean's like, I'm feeling good about life. I'm but, productive. I'm like,
it's the blood pressure.
Please continue.
Get the blood pressure
I
under
know,
control.
I know, that's true. Yeah.
That's, I guess, my gut reaction.
No, I love that though. I love that.
Yeah. It's easy to, because it is so difficult, it's easy to get frustrated.
Yes.
By how difficult it is.
Yes.
Particularly when you have to have the same conversations over and over again. And, so, yeah, look, it is hard, but it's positively hard or hard for good reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm in such a good mood today.
I know.
It's weird.
It's really weird.
It's bizarre.
But you're really inspiring me right now, which is odd.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't happen often. I just feel like that's a really insightful point, you know, that I think when you're in it so much, and because I'm living it as well, and I see the immediate impact and loss for a patient, you know, and the, you know, like that's days or weeks or months of loss for a patient in whatever way, shape or form, because the system hasn't done well enough. And so I feel like there's always a deficit there that I'm trying to recover.
Yeah.
But I think the way that you articulate it is actually quite important as we hark back to the idea of being sustaining, you know, and something that we can keep doing. I think that that's a really important point.
Yeah. If the word is advocate, you're doing it for someone, not against someone.
Love it. Well, that's insightful.
But I also think that probably more people are advocates than you would or than they would realize.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you take out, you know, healthcare system and change it to DIY at home.
Yep.
All you're doing is sharing your experience of mm-hmm. a process or a system, right? At like a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to talk about this stuff at a really sort of high what's the word I'm looking for?
Level. That wasn't it.
It's not it, but that works. That's yeah. You know what I mean.
Like strategic level?
No, like not physical and tangible.
Abstract.
It's easy to talk about it abstractly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Where anyone that's sort of given advice to someone that's going into a healthcare system, like your first time getting a colonoscopy or first time getting an x-ray or here's something you might yep. want to think about, you're an advocate. You yep. are.
You are.
We all do it.
Yep.
And some of us just grab on to, I'm looking at you when I say some of us, that and run with it and think, no, there's systemic issues here.
Yeah.
There's stuff that we can change that would better this process for a patient.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
So, yeah. But never a burden. Always a, I don't want to say joy because, you know, it feels like it's a meaningful contribution.
Yep. And I feel I need to call out at this point. I think, you know, you point to what I do for patients, but I think that I want to point to what you do for carers, you know, or what you do for giving voice to the experience of someone who is parallel to experience, as well as your own experience as a patient, right? And your own experience in the system. I think that we have given a voice to carers, particularly this season with our interview with Jess.
Yeah.
And I think that your insights are really important to people. And we hear that a lot also, actually. So I'll call that out. And finally, I feel like we should have rosé in every episode because it seems to, you know, you seem to really chill and just bring some really deep and meaningful. I should say we've only had like one sip of rosé. It's not the rosé. It's actually Sean's mental health. It's
half
just
a glass.
It's in a really good spot.
Yeah, I don't cry every day. It helps.
I know. Yeah. You're bringing the gems.
Yeah.
This is great.
Although.
Yep.
Let's not forget.
Yep.
That not 45 seconds ago, I couldn't remember the word abstract. So.
Yeah, but that's, you know.
Cart before the horse.
Blame that on chemo brain. I know, right?
It's tough. Never even had it.
I know, but you're in parallel to, sure. you know, you're over here and I'm over there and no, that's wrong. That was chemo brain.
Yeah, there it is.
Moving on.
It's probably for the best. I love that the other thing that we talked about before we kicked off was like, last, wrap it up, like we've got this really solid, snappy, really short, sharp, snappy thing. We've gone the other way with it. We've just decided. Anyway.
Look, we also get told that people want to hear just more about us and our story.
Sure.
So this is that episode.
Sure. Here we are. Yeah.
Look, that was the learning portion of our discussion.
Ooh, what's next?
Key learnings. Now, up next is what is next season.
I'm going to interrupt you, actually. I'm just going to go rogue. And I'm going to say to you, do you have like a favorite bit?
Of what we've done so far?
Yeah.
That sounds really negative. And that's not to our guests. That's more just the burden of my brain going, oh, well, I can't remember our episodes. I don't know. I do. I actually have two. Can I have two?
I mean.
Because I have a favorite. No, but I have a favorite bit like in terms of the whole experience of you and I going, oh, this is a moment.
Yeah.
And then I have a favorite interview.
Oh, okay. Hit me.
So the favorite bit, I think, of the whole experience was when Andrew Denton's team responded and said, yes, let's have an interview together.
Yeah.
And you and I were like,
oh my God, it's Andrew Denton.
It's Andrew Denton. Yeah. And that was a moment for us.
Yeah.
Because we're a brand new podcast.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty impressive guy.
Yeah.
And that was a moment.
Yeah.
My favorite interview was with Susanna.
Yeah. Yep.
It was only episode 2. And it was all about who actually defines success. And it was a heavy interview for so many reasons because she went through so much crap.
Yep.
But she just brought so much life and energy and I think set us on a path very early in how we can take really complex patient issues but make them light and make them entertaining.
Yep.
And it's okay to do that because it's just actually life.
Yep.
She was my favorite interview. Not that I'm playing favorites, well, but I mean, just as a moment but sure. in time. Sorry. I've literally interviewed my own oncologist. I'm like, sorry, mate.
Sorry, pal.
You are not on the list. I mean,
thanks for coming.
And my bowel surgeon. Sorry, Phil. To be fair, not there either.
We knew what they had to say.
It's true. Had it all before, really. Do you have a favorite part?
My favorite part, this is going to sound a bit sentimental and soppy.
Okay.
But the first time we sat down and put the headphones on.
Yeah.
And the first time we pressed play on Dean's song and said, well, 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 for the first time. Like that whole experience is one that'll stick with me for a long time.
Oh, it does sound. Don't make me all cry.
It was cool. It was good
really
fun.
It was really cool. It was amazing. Yeah. Yep. Just to create something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Super proud. Mm. Super proud.
Very proud. Mm. Anyway, sorry, on to the bit that you – what was your actual segment here?
Season two.
Yeah, season two. That's
season
good.
Two, yeah. Right? So we have had a bit of a chat around what that could look like from a couple of different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on season two? Yep.
Nah, feeling good. There's we've got a bucket, if you like, and it's a big bucket.
It is.
And I feel like we say this every week. Yep. If you're out there waiting for a response from us,
yep.
You just keep waiting.
Yeah. You should try again. You should move yourself to the top of the list. It is a bit like that.
Yes.
But I think that we I feel like we've had this kind of collective experience that we need to champion the patient story and we need to keep it focused on the patient because making it about the patient is so important.
Yeah.
And we have to be a constant reminder to our system that that's what we're doing.
Yep.
But I think that we also want to make sure that everyone in our system reminds themselves and each other that the point of the patient story is to not like hear a nice little narrative that makes us feel good about why we do our job.
Yeah.
Or helps us sleep at night or gives us a sense of closure or just goes like, yeah, like health hero, pat on the back. Like that's not the point of the patient story, right? The patient story brings to life an experience that is happening every single day and reminds us that patients need to be welcomed as equals in our system.
Yeah.
And I think that in season two of our podcast, we want to make sure that we are reminding ourselves, each other, and our system stakeholders of the requirement for equality.
Yeah.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to add?
No, you said it well.
Good. All right. So we thought we'll get, you know, I don't know, we'll just, you know, ask, not to say that we haven't been asking the tough questions, but I really want to be asking some questions like, okay, so what action are we taking on this? What are you going to do, mate?
Not the abstract.
Exactly. Mm. Let's get really anti-abstract.
And take that abstract.
Shouldn't. So just to give people a little bit of a flavor for what we got happening season, research, particularly in cancer, clinical trials. People are always like, well, what are these clinical trial thingies? What's that all about?
And there's a lot to unpack there.
So much to unpack. But, I mean, why not do it here?
Why not?
Disability.
Yep.
And the National Disability Insurance Scheme.
Yep.
Like, let's get into that. Medical education. I think when we spoke to Ben Bravery this season, we, you know, delved into the fact that at med school they don't really teach a whole lot of stuff that doctors should probably know about patients and about interaction and communication and all of those things. So let's start doing that. Regional healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's dive into, you know, Australia is a very big place. What does healthcare look like in cities versus regions? And we know that in regions it's diabolically bad and needs some focus and attention. So we're going to bring some focus there. And one of my favorite topics, which is all about accountability in our health system. So, like, where's the performance metrics? How do we know if we're doing a good job? How do we rate ourselves as a system?
Yeah.
Let's dive into that. Mm. In terms of specific conditions, we've got some mental health going on, some endometriosis, heart health, IVF, Breast Cancer Awareness Month is obviously happening in October. We're going to be diving into that. A bit of prostate cancer. And if you've got a specific condition that you want to talk to us about or you want us to cover, let us know.
Let us know.
And we'll, you know, probably not respond.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know and we'll do absolutely nothing to get back to you, but we'll think about it.
And if now you know, if you're doing it via Instagram, that's 100% my fault because Sean's got nothing to do with it. Maybe try the form on our website because Sean does get those emails.
I do see those.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Moving on to the next point on the agenda.
Moving on.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, we're wrapping up now.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Is that that?
That's that.
Do I play a song? Like, are we wrapping up that much?
No. Nah.
Not yet.
I've got one more. Sorry. I've got one more question for you.
Jumped the gun.
Mini segment.
Go on.
It's just one question. Oddly enough, it's a question when we remember that we always end on.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I thought we'd put to the group, as in you and I. I'd like to hear from you based on your reflections, your experience, your own stuff, whatever. What's broken? What's working? And what's something in the system that everyone needs to hear right now?
Do you want to do?
Broken.
Broken.
Yeah, all right.
All right. You want to go first or should I?
No, you go first because I haven't got one. So I'll see.
Okay.
I know, I guess what I'm trying to say is we know that I'm like in a negative headspace and I'm like, it's all broken, clearly.
Everything, the system.
You might be a little bit more precise.
No, I'm going to be specific and I'm going to go all the way back to episode one where Adam pointed out to us and the world his almost deli counter-like experience of the healthcare system.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm not picking favorites of bits that are broken.
Yep.
But that feels like an easy one to fix to me.
Yep.
And one that, you know, perpetuates the lack of equality.
Yep.
I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. I think that's super broken. I think that my broken stuff comes back to the thing that I'm most passionate about in terms of my advocacy, which again comes back to like, how can we actually tell if we're doing a good job or not?
Yeah.
Like who measures success, who defines it?
Yeah.
And that should be an independent set of metrics. It shouldn't just be someone somewhere with probably a political agenda saying Australians have the best healthcare system in the world, which is total crock of crap. Is that a saying? Probably not, but that's what it's going to be.
Tell me more about this crock of crap. Specifically, where would I find one?
it's just not that great.
And it exists at like every checkpoint in the healthcare system too, right?
Yeah. And this sense that we should just be like so grateful and thankful for this system that we have. And I'm not, you know, like, yeah, sure. Okay. If you want to take our system and compare it to another country, and just, you know, pick one on the globe and say, yeah, but it's better than that country. Well, okay, sure. Yep. Great. But like, you know, we don't do that with other parts of industry or economy or, you know, like where there's a vested interest, particularly a financial interest, we go, well, really, we need to stand on our own 2 feet. Like the fact that our economy is better than the next economy is not really relevant. Like we need to look at what we're doing for our communities and our people and how we're spending our taxpayer dollar and how we're thinking about success.
Yeah,
measuring it.
The comparison thing to me is sort of mindless, like whether or not we compare well to other people is irrelevant as far as I'm concerned, particularly when you can identify easily, individually, two people sitting in a room.
Yes.
Things you can fix.
Exactly.
And so if you can fix those things, then work to fix those things.
Yeah, exactly right. And where you have the opportunity to be accountable and take objective measurement, we should be doing that. And we do it everywhere else except healthcare.
Yeah.
And it's time that we really started to do it in healthcare. It's the thing that I'm most passionate. It's the thing that I'm most passionate about, in terms of all of the things that we can fix, and I'm going after it.
Hit me with something that's working.
Look, do you know what is working? Is the fact that like, and I've talked about these rogue agents before, you know, the people who are making the change happen. But I sat down just yesterday. Oh, I can't speak. sounds like the wine slurry. It's not. There's literally been one sip of wine. I sat down yesterday at the one of Australia's most preeminent cancer centres, and I think if you're in Melbourne, there's no like prizes for guessing where that might be. But I was sitting down there with some of the most influential people within that centre, and they were talking to me about how we make change happen for patients and what we need to do to get there, and that politically it's a difficult environment because there are a lot of existing forces at work to kind of maintain things the way that they are in any environment, right? And this is true of going into, you know, as a management consultant trying to impact change in a mining company, for example, or in the Department of Defense where I've been before. If I went to the Army or the Navy and said, you guys have got to do things differently, there's a lot of people in there who would agree. And there's a lot of reasons to stay the same.
Mm.
But when you meet really powerful people who've had glorious careers and established great, they wield a lot of influence, right? Mm. Great power, great experience, great. And they've taken all of that experience and all of that knowledge and come out of the other side of that and can agree with me as a patient sitting opposite them saying, we've really got to make this change. I think that's working. You know, I think that it is a slow path to change and we know that. But the fact that we have people in the system, not just around the system, who want to affect that change, who want to make that happen and are working collaboratively to do that,
yeah.
I think that's working. I think that's positive and I think that's great. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to be part of that. So see if you can better that answer.
You all know, I was about to say, for someone that didn't have anything, you've left me sitting here going, well, what the
Tell me what's not working. Blood tests. Nightmare.
Keeping track of them. Don't lose this silly blood.
Yeah.
Don't lose it.
Let's put it in the tube and let's put a label on it.
Oh, no, which I've forgotten which one lab. It was. Which yeah. one was yours? Have you got any more?
Yeah.
Going to have some more.
We'll try the other round. Anyway, over to you.
I believe it was Ben Bravery
uh-huh.
who said, you correct me if I've picked the wrong interviewee.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure it was him that said, there's people that work in all levels of our healthcare system
mm-hmm.
that keep the system afloat
mm-hmm.
because of their almost relentless desire to make sure that the system stays afloat
yep.
individually. And I work in the healthcare system. And that's the very thing that broke me.
Yep.
That stopped me. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And spent nearly a year not working.
Yeah.
But I'm surrounded by people that that made it.
Yeah.
That got through that.
Yeah.
That keep the system afloat.
Yeah.
And this is my shout out to those people.
Man, you are a glass half full today. It's awesome. I love it.
My glass was nearly empty, actually.
No, I was like, yeah, no, we've got to take care of that. So yeah. Better wrap it up, really. Something that everyone needs to hear right now.
Don't ask me. It's your turn.
Oh, okay. Everyone needs to hear me taking a sip of wine, thinking about this answer. I think everyone needs to hear, like, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with your glass half full.
Go on.
Approach.
Go on.
I think, you know, I think we all need to hear that health is a little bit of a debacle and I feel like it's been brought to the forefront for everyone, right?
Mm.
And everyone, particularly in our country, is looking around our country and all the different experiences of healthcare through this pandemic, what that's led to, you know. And I think that there's a lot of pushback going, do these guys even know what's going on? Do they have they got control of this at all?
Yeah.
And there are a lot of competing forces and reasons to answer in the negative to that question. But there are a lot of reasons to answer in the positive. And I think that everyone in the system needs to know that if we all just get on board, get on the page and make it okay, we're going to be okay.
Mm.
It does require the commitment to do it, but I think that we can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we're a lost cause. I don't think that we've come out of the other side of this, you know, not able to recover. You know, we're talking about, you know, the situation in our aged care system through to, you know, what's happening with cancer diagnosis, you know, and the fact that we're so far behind now as a product of the pandemic. And all of these things are really negative things. But if we all agree that we've experienced something bad and we need to make it good, I think we can collectively, we've got the power to make that happen.
Mm. on the understanding that patients are part of the system,
mm-hmm.
equals in the system,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to patients right now.
Okay.
Two things.
Yeah.
Thing number one, on presentation of a symptom.
Yep.
That makes you a little uneasy.
Yep.
Go get it checked.
Yep.
And thing number two, when presented with a result.
Yep.
From that check, go get a second opinion.
Love it.
That's it.
You're a bit more direct in your answer than I was.
I got more time to think about it.
It's true, because I was, you know, really going on for a while. I love that. Love that answer.
I think that's probably my biggest takeaway from a season of speaking to doctors and patients and
mm-hmm.
healthcare experts. And
yeah.
That's my thing.
And with that.
It's a long reach to the song button.
It is, yeah.
It's
we'll edit that out. Yeah, well, that was it.
That was it.
That was season one. We did a podcast. Hey.
A whole season.
Hey, check it out. I'd cheers you if I could. Let me just.
I'll reach over to you.
Okay.
I wanted to do like a firm cheers so it could be heard in the microphone, but not so firm that we smashed.
Smash the glasses because yeah. They're quite nice glasses. Thanks to everyone who's listened.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Genuinely.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, it is a roller coaster with us, right? Because it just is. We're trying to navigate a lot of crap on the side of actually doing this podcast, you know, and we are unapologetic.
Yeah.
But we are impatient in driving forward patient outcomes and making the whole system better for everyone who's part of it. And the people who listen to us and give us their ears whenever we're capable of actually delivering an episode.
I was about to say, there is a requirement that we create an episode in order for people to listen to an episode.
Yeah.
No, we're doing well. We're here today.
We're here today. And that is something. And if that's all we could do, or that's what we've done.
Then that's what we've done.
And I'm proud of it.
Damn proud. Anyway, see you next time.
Peace.